We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Can we all say amen? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We have been looking at the activity of the word and testimony of Jesus. Raising servants of God. Servants. The testimony. And prophets, are witnesses of God. So, like I taught last week, the whole curriculum of salvation are books. They are made up of books. What did I say? Yes, what you call everlasting redemption. They are books. They are books of redemption. They are books of books. So the unveiling of the Word of God is a book. The unveiling of the testimony of Jesus is another book in the book. And then the climaxing with the word of testimony or prophecy is the perfection of the book of salvation. So we see that broken into, in the book of Revelation, into seals, trumpets, and prophecy. Seals, trumpets, and prophecy. What did I call it? Yes. Now, much of what we see in the book of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, John was caught up to the throne, and Revelation 5, he was experiencing the activity of the breaking of the seals of the book of the Lamb. So that book of the Lamb is the old book of everlasting redemption. What did I say the book of the Lamb is? Yes. So, but what I want to let you know is that John, in this experience, was taken to the future of the church. So when you are reading the book of Revelation, you need some level of help to know what John was writing that was particularly relevant to those seven churches in Asia. Then some of it he saw into the future. For Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3, when he saw the Lord moving into between the seven golden candlesticks, was the activity of God amidst seven churches in Asia, where the Lord was weighing their works, commending their works, chastening them, and also promising them rewards. However, by Revelation 4, John was caught up into heaven, and they began to see the activity of redemption in the season of the end. Can we all say amen? So Revelation 5, 6, they began to break the seals. 7, we saw the seal, the sixth seal, into the seal of the living God. Chapter 7, we saw the opening of the seventh seal and the beginning of the blasting of the seven trumpets. So, can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Then after that, we saw seven trumpets till chapter 11. All right? Then chapter 12 is now taken from the opening of the trumpets from chapter 7, see, 8 to chapter 11. You see, chapter 12, for instance, is going to happen within the blowing of the trumpets. Can we say amen? Because the trumpets must finish. The trumpets must finish for the man-child to be made true. So the man-child cannot access prophecy or the book of prophecy until all the mystery of God should be finished. Are you following me? So it means that chapter 12 is in between the blowing of the trumpets and the activity of the seventh trumpet, which opens the seven thunders. So it is in the blowing of the seventh trumpet that the mystery of God will be finished. So we can say the seventh trumpet is what we deliver the book of prophecy. Oh, can we say amen? You can't come into the activity of prophecy without the activity of the seventh trumpet. So you see that chapter 10 in the book of Revelation, for instance, is also that chapter 10 happened to John. So chapter 10 in the book of Revelation was not in the future. John really ate the book of prophecy. In fact, that is why he went to Patmos, because all those churches were in the season of holding the testimony and generating prophecy. So John went to Patmos to receive the last aspect of the mystery of redemption. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Can we all say amen? He went to receive the last aspect of the mystery of redemption so that the churches could access wisdom to overcome the dragon and enter into all of the promises of eternal life. Can we all say amen? Amen. So it was necessary that he went there. Take me to John chapter 1 verse 10. Revelation 1. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to seven churches which are in Asia. So these are the seven churches. So it means that out of the whole of Asia, these were the seven churches ready for prophecy. Now, you can't tell me that it's only seven churches in the whole of Asia. All right? Colossian church did not show up here. It means Colossian church was not ripe for prophecy. I don't know if you are following me. So when it comes to churches, all these churches had even moved from the ministry of the word, they are moving to the ministry of the blood. Can we say amen? Meaning they were not just churches of the word of God or churches of the incorruptible seed. These churches were churches of the testimony of Jesus. So all the seven churches were churches of the testimony of Jesus. Because you have to be a church in the testimony of Jesus to come into the radar to receive book of prophecy. Can we all say amen? Now let's go to verse 3. Let's start from verse 1. We'll read down to 3. Amen. I just want to take my time here. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? All right. Praise God. I can hear you say amen. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto what? His servant John, who bear record. So this is what this both John and the servants, because all of them were servants. I believe John was a higher servant. And we saw in Revelation chapter 10 that prophecy was given to John. Can we say amen? The only thing they said is that when he heard prophecy, he heard all those, the last aspect of the book, he heard it because that is what you call the open book. That is what you call the little book. So John heard that aspect of the mystery that needed to conclude the service of the servants. He heard it. He was only told not to write it. But he heard it. Take me to Revelation 10. But he did not write it, but he ate it. So he didn't write it, but he ate it. So prophecy was in John. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What did I say was in John? The book of prophecy was in John. Take me to verse 1 of Revelation 10. All right? Look at it. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened. So I like the word little book. I want you to see. Now, can we say amen? Take me to Revelation 5. So this is the last aspect of the book being opened. In Revelation 5, what we saw in the end of the Lamb was a seven sealed book. All right? And that seven sealed book is the book of everlasting redemption. What did I say is the seven sealed book? So, sir, the seven sealed book is the unveiling of the mystery of salvation from the Word of God to the testimony of Jesus, to the book of prophecy. So everything is in this one. Can we say amen? Because it is as the seals are open that the mysteries are being revealed. The mysteries of salvation. All right? So in Revelation 6 downwards, we saw the administration of the book of everlasting redemption universally. It's actually universally. Can we say amen? I believe that John was seen into the future where there will be an unveiling of the activity of salvation universally. Interestingly, the book is sealed within and without. Take me to Revelation 5. Are you following me?
Yes,
meaning that there's an activity of the book within and there's the activity of the book without. So most of what we saw that were documented were activity of the book without. There is the activity of the book within. The activity of the book within is to save the soul. So the only thing that they put in those seals when they were opening, they just put symbols. They put code. It was coded. Some of those codes will make you understand the commensurate work that should be done inside. So they are showing you when the book of redemption or everlasting redemption is universally taught, what will the things that will be happening on the earth? But those things, they have their correlation in the spirit. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I will get there as I continue. They have their coloration. For instance, when they open six seal, all right? All those things were activity, both activity that will happen without and also within. Can we say amen? And I beheld and he opened the sixth seal and lo, there was a great earthquake. And sun became as black as sackcloth of hair and moon became as blood. Remember that Joel prophesied this in Joel 2 when there's going to be a giving of spirits. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Say, I show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and what? Terrible day of the Lord. Can we say amen? So there will be signs physically in the heavens. Physical signs. Jesus also said that in Matthew 24. We can't play down on that. But the physical signs are just a prophetic witness of the activity of redemption in men. That's what I'm saying. So, judging sun, moon, and stars is judging the present heavens, ruling over the souls of men. You are not saying amen to that. It's judging the present heavens, ruling over the souls of men. And the stars of heaven fell into the head. All right? Those stars are spirits. Can we say amen? Some level of spirits are being judged that are holding men in black. They are holding men under bondage to spirits that rule in the hair. Even as a fig, corset and a timing fig, where she's shaking of a mighty wind. So when the mystery of redemption is being opened universally, there will be shaking in the heavens. In the heavens of men. The heavens of men are arrangement of spirits that hold men in darkness. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. All right, I'm just trying to go ahead of myself just to show you some things. Look at now, read 13. All right. 14. Mm-hmm. And then the heaven departed as a straw when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Verse 15. Then the kings of the earth, look at this. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman and every free man. So this is everybody on the face of the earth. Because everybody falls into this category. All right? Kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and on the rock of the mountains. All right? Why are they hiding themselves? There will be a publishing of salvation in the air. Oh, you are not following me anymore. What did I say there will be? By then, the heavens have been rolled. Spirits have been falling. So, it is not until... Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So I now found out that there will be a gradual judging of spirits until Revelation 12. Revelation 12 is the final clearing of the air. So it's, there will be stars. You know that these spirits are in their different stratas. So I believe, can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So, you know, all those spirits in the air, they are against a level of ascension in the church. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. They are spirits against the activity of Christ. Then you now have spiritual wickedness. That are spirits against the activity of the word of God or the incorruptible seed. Can we say amen? Then you now have the dragon. Can we say amen? Which is the dragon was those that are holding testimony. Once you handle testimony, you attract the activity of the dragon. So that's why you see that all those seven churches, Pastor CG, they were warring the dragon. Because they were all testimony churches. I don't know if you are following me. Oh, you are not following me. Can we say amen? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Take me back there so you can see. So, some of the spirits will have been falling at the sixth seal. Some of them will have been falling at the sixth seal. It says idols. So it means that, take me to the next verse. Hell of, there will be a publishing of salvation in the air. God will begin to open the eyes of nations. Now look at what they said. And they said to the mountains and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that is seated on the throne. So this is the face they are coming to, because it was the Lamb that was opening the seal. So it is the face of the Lamb they will start seeing. I'm not talking about, can we say amen? This is a condescension lamb. This is not an eternal lamb. This is an everlasting lamb. There's a reigning of an everlasting lamb. This is the everlasting lamb publishing salvation in the air. So he says, hide us from the face of him that's seated on the throne and from the wrath of the lamb. So these are the everlasting publishing of salvation upon the heavens of men. He says, for the great day of what? His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? So, look at chapter 7. So, it is the opening of the sixth seal. You know, they opened the first sixth seal. And after that, we saw that they brought the seal of the living God. All right? Can we all say amen? So, after these things, so after what things? After the opening of the first six seals. Now, the first six seals, they are seals that opens up the revelation of the Word of God. What did I say they open? So, meaning that you need the opening of the first six seals for the revelation of the Word of God on the incorruptible seed to be unveiled. All right? So after these things, after the opening of the first six seals, and I've taught you before, some of those things symbolically I've taught you. I don't want to do that today. It says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that they should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or anything. Now the four winds were to harm the earth. I've told you that. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Those four winds are to fast track the activity of redemption in a backslided humanity. So, now look at verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east with the seal of what? The living God. So it means the first six seals are seals to unveil who? The living God. The first six seals are seals of the living God, meaning that they are seals of the Word of God or the incorruptible seed. So, a seal of the living God. So, now this seal of the living God is to climax the activity of the first six seals. Look at that. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Having the seal, it didn't say seals, the seal. So this seal here, can we say amen? Can we say amen? Is like the sealing. It's a type of a testimony. I don't want to use the word testimony, but it's a type, or it's a type of a spirit. It's a sealing. This is the sealing of the law. You know, I told you that there are two things. You bind up testimony, but you first seal the law among my disciples. So, the seal of the living God is the sealing of the Word of God. What did I say it is? It's the sealing of the Word of God, or servants of the Word of God. So, you can see. Seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to utter the earth and the sea. So these things are going to happen. So you now know that at this point, it was the opening of redemption universally. All right? They want to bring more people into it. And of course, we saw that in chapter 7. God is giving us more understanding. Yes. All these things, we will not mix them up again. All right? So saying, ought not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. So it means that the four winds are to hurt the earth on a massive scale. All right? Till we have sealed who? They call them servants of God. So they're actually servants of the Word of God. Can we say amen? What did I say there? They are the servants of the word. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So these are the servants of the word of God. Or the servants of the law of God. Can we say amen? So when you say someone is a servant of the word of God, and if he's sealed, it means he has incorruptible life. Can we say amen? At a measure. So such one has been built as an house of incorruption. What did I say he has been? So this is a building. So when you're a servant of the word of God and you have been sealed with the seal of the living God, is that you have been, it's just, it confirms your building. This is the building. Now, these servants must still receive testimony. But they are now servants of the law of God. And they have the seal of the living God. So that seal of the living God is like a kind of sealing, meaning there's a content of life. Now, when you're a servant of the word of God, you are born of the incorruptible seed. When you have been sealed with the seed of the living God, the incorruptible seed will begin to remain. Now, you can have incorruptible seed, but it does not remain or it does not abide. Because the activity of the word of God, both what? Liveth and abideth. So that abiding is the sealing of the word of God. Oh my, I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. What did I say that abiding is? So that is the sealing. That is the seal of the living God. Abide there is the seal of the living God. So it means that the incorruptible seed will remain. It's possible for them to give incorruptible seed and it dies. Just like you can have the law and you don't agree. So for them to seal you with the seal of the living God, it means you have done the law. You have done the works of the incorruptible seed. To the end. So that seed can now remain. Meaning the building will remain. You have done the build, you have done the work to the point where they secure the building. You know, all these things, they are works. You will obey the law of God till that house has been built and secured to a measure. So secure means that you have finished the work of the living God. So now we can say that you are a servant of the living God. So a servant of the word of God is also a servant of the living God. What did I say? What did I say? So for you to be a confirmed servant of the word of God or a servant of the living God, you must finish the works of the living God. And that is what the book of Revelations encapsulates in the first six seals. So all those six seals, inside it is the mystery of redemption at the level of the living God. The Lord is giving us understanding. Amen. Now all these things, I'm going to still use the epistle of John to interpret them. But you know, I'm beginning from Revelation. I want you to see them clearly. All right? So now, give me the next verse. Let me do chapter 7. Is that one clear? Okay, let me also support what I just said. Take me to 1 John chapter 3 from verse 5. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 5. Now you can see we are going deeper now, right? All right. And we all say amen. So, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin. So you can see, when you are studying John, you need to be very, very skilled. And I just noticed that God has been moving on this John. We have been on it for years. Now, chapter 3. Chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Is a transition from word to testimony. Now, a servant of the word is made sinless. The purpose of being a servant of the world is to be sinless. The purpose of being a servant of the testimony unto prophecy is to be deathless. So, when you are a servant of the living God and you are sealed with the seal of the living God, you now have authority over sin. Yes. Sin. Now, I'll explain what that sin means. You have authority over sin at the level of the serpent. Or you have authority over sin at the level of the world. Now, when I mean world, I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about things in the world. Amen. I've already lost some people. Now, we have, in John, we have things of the world and we have the world. So, things of the world are handled by the word of Christ. Can we say amen? So, things of the world, according to John, are divided into three. What are they? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That is not the world. That is the things in the world. So with the word of Christ, you overcome the world. But with the word of God, you overcome. The world, with the word of Christ, you overcome things of the world. But with the word of God, which is the incorruptible seed, you overcome the world, which is also the serpent. So when you say you're overcoming the serpent, it's actually the world. It's the world of the wicked one. Can we say amen? Yes. Yes. So it's the world of the wicked one. The world of the wicked one. You need the word of God to overcome it. Meaning you need incorruptible seed. Or the work of the living God to be fully done in the soul. You need to be a servant of the living God to overcome. So when you say you're a servant of the living God, it means that you have the world beneath you. You have sin beneath you. Sin that is of the world. There is sin that is in the world. Word of Christ will undo that. I don't know. Are you following me? But there is sin that is of the world. So now, there is a difference between the world and the dragon. When you are, can we say amen? Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? The dragon is another entity. Now, when it comes to the dragon, it's even, it's many folds. For instance, in the dragon is also, the life in the dragon is tripartite. In the dragon, you have the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. So before you come into dragon, you will deal with beast, the prophet, and then the dragon itself. Can we say amen? So all that, anything that is dragonic, you need testimony or you need blood. So you need covenant, testimony, and prophecy to deal with the beast, the prophet, and the dragon. You need all those things. You need all the materials in the blood to overcome the tripartite of the dragon. So you deal with the beast. The beast is in two phases. You have the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. And then you now have the dragon itself. Have you noticed that, sir? It is beast, it is sea, earth, then air. The dragon is in the air. Can we say amen? Even though the dragon had fallen when he brought out those three, but I'm just showing you that the dragon is the last. By the time you are dealing with the dragon, you must be a being of prophecy. Amen. Amen. Yes. So no person will deal with dragon without overcoming everything that the dragon represents, which is what we see in the beast and in the false prophet that came out of the earth. I don't know if you are getting me. Oh, I'm not sure. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I'm just showing you. So take me. So when you are a full servant of the incorruptible seed, you are strong. Because the word of God, what? Abides in you. Now take me to, I'll come to three. Let's go to two again. I write to you young men. So who are those young men? They are servants of the living God. Amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. What did I say the young men are? Or they are servants of the word of God. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are what? Strong. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So this is the beginning of strong. This is actually strong meat. So young men take strong meat. Fathers take true meat. It's not the same thing. So I bring it to you, unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God, what? So the word of God is not just living in them. So the word of God liveth and abideth, according to 1 Peter. All right? So these young men have done works of the living God to a point where the incorruptible seed can what? Abide. So it means now, you now need the abiding word to ward the wicked one. Meaning you, it means, and you have, it means that once you have the abiding word, you have already overcoming. Meaning that you have the power to overcome the wicked one, which daddy called the serpent, is the truth. All right? So when you have the abiding word of God, there's a difference in there. There's a living word of God. There's an abiding word of God. What did I say? What did I say? No, the way the Lord taught me, for all those things, they have their grace and peace. So even right from milk to butter, it's milk and honey, butter and honey. So there's always grace and peace. There's always two sides. Grace and peace be multiplied. Why grace and peace? The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, grace and peace is the cycle of the word. Living and abiding is just like grace and peace. So when they say you are at peace, it means the word has settled. So you can be at grace. With grace, you cannot be able to overcome the wicked one. You need to be at peace with that incorruptible seed. So, pastor, to me, to be at peace means you have caught covenant with it. Or there's no strife. There is agreement between you and that word. You can be given a word, but you have not obeyed the word to the place where the word has become one with you. I'm not trying to explain it using many terminologies. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes,
are you sure you are following me?
Yes,
all right. So, these young men, like I said, are the young men of the word of God. And the word of God is already abiding in them. So I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. So it means that the word of God is the strong meat of the word. That word of God is the strong meat of the word. So, and you know, you don't partake of strong meat first. Before you take strong meat, you will go through milk. Can we say we have taught that? You will take milk, then the milk will now bring you to butter. Amen. Maybe I should touch that again. Let's go to Isaiah 7. So the word of God is the strong meat of the word. What did I say? You're not answering me.
The word of God is the strong meat of the word.
So, but you can't. So when you enter into the world of the true tabernacle, they don't begin you with the word of God immediately. They're beginning with the milk of the Word of God. All right? So, which we see in Isaiah 7. Now, I've taught you before in the book of John, we have two categories of children. Both of them are most holy children. All of those churches, they are churches of the true tabernacle, meaning they are most holy churches, including the children. You have two classes of little children. The first class of little children are called babes. They're actually, the translation means babes. All right? The second category of children are called maturing children. So one is infants or darlings. The other ones are growing child. So I write to you, I write to you children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So those are the ones taking milk. Can we say amen? Are you following me? So then I write to you little children. That one in the Greek is the growing child. It says, for you have known the Father. Actually, what it means, when I check it, known the Father, it means actually, because the word known there is the word ginosko. It means, for you can now perceive the Father. So you need butter to perceive him. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. So I write to you, young men, because you have known. So that word known is that now you can begin to know the Father, meaning you can choose good, which is the good word of God, or the incorruptible seed. Some people are getting it, some people have not. Can we say amen? Now take me back to John, all right? Take me back to Isaiah, rather. I'll come back to John. Let me sit down. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So butter and honey shall he eat. All right? So this is how I see it. I feel that the honey is the countenance. The honey is the peace. The butter is the grace. The milk is the grace. The honey is the peace. Shall you understand? Daddy may what? You are not talking. Daddy may what? Daddy may know. Meaning he has judgment. Very well. That he may know to refuse the evil. So you cannot choose the good or refuse the evil until you are partaking of what? Milk and butter. So what milk and butter does is that it gives you the right perception. You cannot perceive what is right or what is wrong. Can we say amen? So these are the next class of little children. They have matured a little bit now. They have moved from milk to butter. Now take me to verse 27, 22. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. So you don't begin by taking butter. You begin by taking milk. So when you are taking milk, now there's no way you are taking food and you are not being sanctified. So there will be activity of cleansing of sin. Can we say amen? Till you come to the place where the milk becomes butter. It is the milk that becomes butter. Meaning the milk solidifies. So what makes milk become butter? In chemistry, what makes milk become solidified? Is it called churning? What's the process? That churning, a simple layman term. What do you do for it to be? What do you do for? Thank you. I just needed somebody to mention. What you need is heat. So the milk is heated. Can we say amen? Oh, you're not following me. Everybody say it's heated up. So your journey, the most holy, is a journey of fervency. As you are more fervent in love, they change your diet. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So you move from milk to butter. You move from the first class of little children that are babes to little children that can now choose good. They can now perceive. He says, I'll write you for you can know the Father. That's the next class of little children. So by the time you now begin to now choose, eat the word of God, you are now changing from little children to what? Young men. Because it's the word of God that matures you from little children to young men. Then by the time you are now finishing the word of God, from the season where it liveth to abiding, you have become a full young man. So as a full young man, you become a full servant of the living God. Meaning now, you can overcome the serpents. Can you follow? Can we say amen? Amen. And so there are journeys. The thing is not as straight as you think. It takes time to journey from a little child to becoming a young man. You journey through seasons of obedience. No, take me to, I don't think I finished Isaiah 7. So it shall come to pass, for the abundance of milk they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone that is what? Left in the land. That land is the Father's land, or the land of the living God, or the living land. All right? Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So you can see, you move from milk to butter. You move from butter to strong meat of the word. And strong meat of the word liveth and what? Abideth. So take me back to 1 John chapter 2. So you need the word of God to abide in you to overcome the wicked one. The power to overcome the wicked one here means that the incorruptible walk at the level of the living God has been finished in your soul. So now you have what it takes to overcome what? The wicked one. Can we say amen? This wicked one here, the God servant called the serpent, can be equal to the world. Now, this is not the world that they, this is not the world at the level of the word of Christ. John divided it more. This is the world at the level of wickedness. Can we say amen? So there's a world that is what? The world of the wicked one. Now take me to chapter 3. Thank you. Let's start from verse 5. So, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. So like I said, the complete work of the word of God in the soul is to make you sinless. But now, the fact that you are sinless does not mean that you are unfading or you are undefiled. Meaning, even though you are sinless, if you don't complete your journey in the true tabernacle, death can break down your building. So that's what happened to Adam. Adam, as a living soul, was incorruptible already. Yes, he was without sin, meaning he was sinless. But he was not made deathless. So you need testimony and prophecy to be deathless. Meaning you have become unfading, you have become undefiled and unfading. Those things are not the same. Incorruptible, undefiled, unfading. They are not the same. They are measures. Can we say amen? Yes. You can call it incorruptible, servant of the word. Undefiled, servant of testimony. Unfading, servant of prophecy. It's not the same thing. So for you to be on the unfading, it means that you have been what? You have become a complete work that cannot be broken down by death. What is death? Death is the reigning of the dragon. When you say the dragon is a He's an high priest of death. That is Satan's fool. That's why the last enemy is death. In the conquering of the enemies, the last one is death. Can we say amen? Oh, that amen is weak.
Amen.
So to make you deathless, you need prophecy. So both undefiled and unfading, they are in the cup or in the blood. So when you are a servant of the word, you are a servant of the bread of God. You may not have entered the cup, but to a measure, it's not an ordinary thing. You are an incorruptible man to a measure. But your incorruptible house is not full. So there's an high activity of warfare that can assault that building. Can we all say amen? That's why John called them young men. That's how John rated them. So after that, you now have fathers. So in the world of fathers, it's now three. You have fathers in the covenant. You have fathers in the testimony. You have fathers of prophecy. They are all in the realm of the beginning. So the fathers of prophecy, they are the most youngest. They are the ones that are adopted to the throne. They are the most childlike. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? So you can see. So there's a journey of fatherhood. So I write. So he was still writing those fathers. Why was he writing them? Even though they knew the beginning, their journey of the beginning was not complete. They needed to journey to prophecy for their knowledge of the beginning to be full so that they can be adopted. So it is only fathers that have finished the journey of the beginning. It is out of them they will have the man child. I've told you. So those fathers, they are all children. I've told you last week. They are all children of the blood. Amen. I don't know. I need some encouragement.
Yes, sir.
What did I say the fathers are? So the appearing of the Son of God is in twofold, Pastor Friday. It will come as water. And it will come as blood. In the season of the blood, it's not one appearing. It's a season of appearing. Because covenant begins in the cup. Yes. It means they will have sealed you before they cut covenant with you. Pastor Friday. It means they will have sealed you with the seal of the living God. Once they seal the living God, come and take covenant. So by the time you take covenant, you enter blood. That's the beginning of the journey of the blood. So it means you must have finished the work of the season of the living God for them to introduce you to what? Covenant. So from covenant, you begin your journey of fatherhood. You become a father of testimony. I know you become a father of covenant. So those fathers, they begin from covenant or from the blood. I've never seen this kind of epistle that is just hopeless. I've been on it for years. It's just fearful, sir. Sir, you don't know the Bible. At least some of you that have been with me for a long time. Pastor CJ has been with me since. You know how many years I've been teaching this epistle of John? Before many of you came, I've been teaching it. And the thing keeps opening. Only God knows the men that wrote it. So are you saying it? All right? So fatherhood begins from covenant. What did I say? Say that again. So in the blood, there are seasons of fathers. It's not like the young men are not fathers also. But you need to understand, I'm using John's language to explain it. The young men are fathers of the word. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. So, but when you want to use John's language, You don't call the young men fathers. Because you begin a father at covenant. You are not a father except you have covenant. Hebrews 8. Huh? The covenant I work. So if you don't have covenant, so those young men cannot really be regarded as fathers because they don't have covenant. Look at Hebrews 8. Uh-huh. Look at that. Thank you for verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will be put their laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them what? I will be to them what? And they shall be to them what? A people. So it's also two seasons. I will put my laws into their mind. It's the season of the word of God. That's comma. And then I will write them where? In their hearts. So there is the law that is what? That is higher. That is now covenant. Eh? And then testimony. Can we say amen? That is what you, that's how they make fathers. So without covenant, you can't say you are a father. I don't know if I'm making any sense. All right. So I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. So it's not, there are season of fathers that John was writing to. They were in different stratas. You know that Jacob is a father. Isaac is a father. Abraham is a father. They are not the same. So there are fathers that are lesser than fathers. Huh? So I write to you, fathers, because you are known in the house from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abided in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Take me to chapter 3, all right, of John. Oh, I need to connect the book of Revelation back. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, so you can see. And in him is no sin. So whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever abide, you know, so for many years, I did not know. I was interpreting this differently. So whoever abideth in him, in the dimension of the incorruptible seed. Yes. So abiding in him is different from being true in him.
Yeah.
That's in chapter 5. It's not the same thing, sir. Now, I've told you generally that I believe that the first epistle of John is more of the true light shining. So they were bringing true light to churches that are served what? That served the word of God. They had even entered into the testimony. But they were not coming to full testimony journey. Because it is at the peak of the testimony that you come into prophecy.
Yes.
So you could know that they had journeyed far. You will know through the language. If not, it won't say the Son of God appeared as both water and blood. So it means it has appeared to them as blood. So it is in the season of the appearing of the Son of God as blood that you know him that is true. So even him that is true is in seasons. True begins from covenant. What did I say, sir? To know him that is true begins from covenant, but that's not the full season of being true. Because in chapter 2, it's already said this thing is true in him and in you. Does not mean that they were already sealed with the seal of the true God. But the light of the true has started shining. Yes. Meaning some of those people in that, you still had many of them. So you had little children, young men, fathers. Most of them were between the first class of, the two classes of little children. Most of those that you were writing to. Meaning many of them were still, they were still within the dimension of servants of the word of God. Many of them. So, but you have had some of them that are young men, and had some fewer out of them that were fathers. That's why he brought the new commandment. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So the purpose of the new commandment was to mature the fathers. The new commandment was actually for the fathers. I will... because the new commandment is the true light. And now shine it. I will come back there. Let's go to chapter 3. Are you with me? I needed to move a little bit, all right? So look at it. So I know, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin, all right? Whoever abided in him sinned not. So when you are in the realm of the abiding word of God, you sin not. It's not the same thing as death. Now, you can sin not. Doesn't mean you are passed over death. I will show you in that same chapter. Yes. It's not the same thing. So, I want you to move from serving the word to service in the blood. All right? Now, look at verse 6. So, whoever abided in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. That is, known him as the word of God. So, Pastor Friday, when you know him as the word of God, you will not sin. Can we say amen? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth what? Righteousness is righteous, even as is righteous. And he that committed sin is what? Is of the devil. For the devil sinned from what? For this purpose. The Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the devil, can we say amen?
Amen.
Is not the dragon. This devil is the wicked one. So when you're a servant of the word, you can overcome the devil. So that's why Jesus Christ at Jordan could overcome the devil. Because Jesus Christ at Jordan was a full servant of the word. So why Jesus, amen. What did I say Jesus Christ was? That was a living son. So he was a fool. He was kitted against the devil. So but Jesus' 3.5 years ministry was not against the devil. He's supposed to become true to overcome the dragon. God will say amen. So that means that Satan used men to ascend. So who we had in Genesis was a serpent. So, but over years of trafficking, he gained ascension. So the dragon is an advanced serpent. So by the time Jesus was on the earth, there was a dragon. So, when he wants to war you first, he will not begin. Because all those things are in him. He has many names. So he will first test you with one of his names. So Jesus, you know, as Matthew 4 quote, he used the tempter of the devil was not potent enough to break Jesus' formation. Jesus was already an incorruptible son. So he could discern the wiles of the devil. This is the wiles of the devil. So Jesus had the whole armor of God. By the time Jesus was beginning ministry, he had all armor of God. Complete kit. What Paul was talking about in Ephesians 6. Those are armors of the living God. The whole armor of God. When you say whole armor, it's just saying all of the armor of the living God that liveth and what? Abideth. So that's the first arm in everlasting life. Or that is the armies of the living God. It was David that first mentioned it in the Bible. when David was warning Goliath. He says, you are circumcised Philistine. You defy the armies of the living God. So there's something called the arms of the living God. So the arm of the living God, both liveth and what? Abide. He gives you the full kit to overcome the devil. Can we all say amen? I'm sure that you are getting understanding. All right. So this chapter 3, I've rushed it too. I just rushed it. It's not to be rushed, sir. So look at it. So whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. So what is that sin? It is to transgress the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Take me back to, Pastor, will you just, this is breakthrough, sir. Take me to verse 4. This is not a transgression of the law of Moses. This is transgressing the word of God. So whoever committed sin, what does it mean to commit sin? You break the building of the word of God. And that is what Satan did. I believe that Satan had both word and testimony. Satan also perverted his testimony. All right? Yeah, he perverted his testimony. He used it. He did some things. He used what God put in him and he did some things to become what he became. Anyway, but at this point, it says, whosoever sinneth, committed sin, transgresseth the law. This is not the law of Moses. This is the law of what? Law or the word of God. For sin is what? The transgression of the law. So who is a transgressor? Once someone has been given the law, you know the law. Now, you cannot transgress against a law that you don't know. So you can't be called a transgressor. So it means that for you to be a transgressor, you have been given the incorruptible seed. Or you have even begun to use it. You can't be called a transgressor, a law that you have not obeyed. You only become a transgressor when you begin to, when you don't keep obeying the law. You may have obeyed it for a season. Because part of obedience is to keep. Pastor Sichi, sir. Part of obedience is to keep. You will keep the, you obey, then you will keep until the work abides. Until you become one with the word. So they are saying that for some of those churches, they had given them the word. They were already serving the word of God. Many of them, of course, anytime you are serving a word, you can choose not to obey the word. And people need to know this and they need to be afraid. Because don't think that, I'm just hearing. See, when you are hearing something, you are not the same anymore. There's no even way you will stay there and you not understand. You see, if you are under the atmosphere of the world like this, they can't keep you without understanding for 5 years. If they see that you will not understand, they will take you away. They will organize. So that means that they have not opened your understanding. So that kind of person, if he goes to a church where they teach word of faith, nothing will happen to the person. Because while you were here, you did not have understanding at all. Meaning, they didn't open your understanding at all. So you can go back to a motivational church and you'll be okay. That is not a transgressor. You know where a transgressor is? You know what they are. You know it. You know what is good. You know, you have even begun to obey it. But why you transgress is that you could not keep. What do you think happened to Adam? He was a transgressor. That's why the Bible calls Adam's sin transgression. He was not ignorant of it. He broke the law. People need to know this. Amen. May God have mercy on us. So you can't form innocence. I'm innocent. Like you did not hear anything. So you can't enter shrine and say you enter by mistake. You play boy inside shrine. You say, it's like you go carry spirits. That's what I'm saying. You go carry spirits, sir. Some of you fear shrine. Don't fear the word of God. Sir, this is a higher shrine. You know, if you like Igbo film very well, this is a high shrine. I am the one that is leading the service. You know, all those places. So what is happening to you? You are under priestly service. When they open your eyes, all this opening of eyes is a priestly work. Washing, open eyes. It's priestly. So you're not the same person. Don't you are not the same person. And both heaven know and evil spirits know. Somebody that wants to run away from this church after they have opened your understanding, you'll be the most frustrated person. You can't sit down anywhere. You will go around churches. You'll just be causing trouble. You can't be a normal person. It's either two things. It's either you come back to this kind of assembly and fit in, or you will become a wanderer in the body of Christ. No pastor can pastor you. Because as a pastor is preaching, you already see his flaw. You can plop the pastor. It's dangerous. People need to know. That's why you grow in meekness with this word. You should grow in. If you don't have meekness, Satan will use it against you. I know people that were once open to this kind of word. They are not in any church again. They can't sit down under anybody again. So the best they can do is to be criticizing. And that is Satan's ministry. Satan has enrolled them already. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, so you can see. So sin is the transgression of the law. So we must know this sin, whoever committed sin, to commit sin is to transgress the word of God. Or the incorruptible seed. That's what it means. It's not just any sin. So whoever committed sin transgressed the law. For the sin is the transgression. Is the transgression of the law. So take me to verse 8. So he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Can we say amen? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the what? Works of the devil. Next verse. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For the seed what? Or abideth in him. So to be born of God means that you have obeyed the word of God from the living to what? Abiding. So you are now born of that word. So you become a full servant of the word. So it is after this that you now enter the blood. So when you are born of the word, then you cannot enter into the blood to pick covenants. So you start the journey of covenants. Or they started the journey of the testimony. But it begins with covenants. Can we say amen? Amen? So look at it. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. So that's incorruptible seed. meaning he cannot transgress. Now he has been born of it. You didn't hear what I'm saying? Can we say amen? So once you get this stage, immediately this happens, you are moving immediately into the blood. Meaning you are journeyed already. You are transited. Once you are born, this is how I see it. Once you are born of the word of God, you are born into the blood. They move you immediately. They move you immediately into covenant. So, for the seed remained in him, and he cannot sin because he's what? Born of God. So, they are still talking about servants of the word here. Can we say amen? Yeah, these are servants of the world that have now been transited into blood. Take me into Psalm 132. Maybe I should stay here a little bit. Thank you. Start from verse 11. I hope you are with me. All right. You might need to go and listen so that you get the lines well. All right. So the Lord has sworn in truth, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body, will I what? So that is that's Zion. It is out of Zion, or out of the body of Christ, the body of, or let me say, Church of Christ, the elect church. Thank you. So, but you know that the elect church will give back to children first. That Isaiah called daughters of Zion. That Songs of Solomon calls daughters of Jerusalem. They are the same. It is out of those companies they will now pick up those that will now sit on the throne. It says, look at that. It says, if thy children will keep my covenant and want my testimony that I shall what? Teach them. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So when you are born of the word of God, you are born into the blood. They now begin to teach you covenants. So it's not immediately. Pastor CG, by the time you enter into the world of the blood of the Son of God, they will now begin to teach you covenants. Then after you will keep covenants. It is teaching before keeping. So there's a season for teaching. There's a season for keeping what you are taught. So you cannot even enter testimony. So this is how it does. They will teach you covenants. You will keep covenants. They will teach you testimony. You will now keep testimony. When you keep testimony to a point, testimony will now generate what? Book of prophecy. So you have to keep testimony to the end. Because the end of testimony, you cannot finish testimony without prophecy being given. So the book of prophecy is actually the finishing of testimony. That's why you see that prophets just said law and testimony. It took a New Testament apostle to show us the prophecy aspect. So you see, prophet Isaiah said the law and testimony. Covenant and testimony. So because the testimony of Jesus is the what? Is the nature to prophesy. Meaning you can now take the last piece of the testimony, which is prophecy. So prophecy is the finishing of what? Testimony. Pastor, I don't know. Are we all following? So now, take me back to that Psalm 132 so you can see. Amen. If thy children will keep my covenant, so it is and my testimony that I shall teach them. So they must first keep, you will keep covenant, then you keep testimony. Their children. Are you following? Their children shall also sit where? So it means that it is children of testimony that will sit on the throne. Children of covenant move to testimony. Children of testimony move to prophecy. So it is when you finish prophecy, when you begin to prophesy, that they cannot adopt you. So it means that the man child had begun to prophesy from the womb. So when she was born, she was a full prophet. That man child was a prophet. So the dragon will just be looking. They go, they look, you go, look, you go, look, you go, look. The dragon will just be looking at that child. It can do nada. That child is also already a full prophet. Above the judgment of the dragon. Can we say amen? So it is prophecy that connects the child from the womb to the throne. So the child does not stop prophesying after it is born. I'm saying that the child has been prophesying before it was born, because you need to be sealed with the seal of the true God for you to be born. So, but it did not stop prophecy. It was still prophesying. Because you see, the child was made of the spoken word, which is the word of their testimony. So the child had the potential to overcome the dragon from the womb. If I had the word to overcome the dragon in the womb. So once it was born out, it already had the word of testimony. So that was the word he was using to reign. So Pastor CG, word of testimony is for reigning. You will reign with word of testimony for a season until you now are caught up to God and his throne. So there is a season of reigning. So word of testimony, a word of prophecy, gives you an everlasting reign. You will reign. You will have an everlasting reign. So you will prophesy unto God and his throne. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You can see. Can we all say amen? I hope you are following me. That is, they overcame him by everything in the blood. So it means that for you to overcome the dragon, you must be a servant of covenant. You must have the covenant. You must keep the covenant. Then you must also keep what? Testimony. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. So that's the word that the testimony generated. We're here when God's servant taught it. So this is what he called the spoken word. All right? The word of their testimony. So you have testimony first. Now, it didn't say the word of his testimony. So they have their testimony. So to have the testimony means you have life. If it's their testimony, they had life. They are passed from death to life. So to have testimony, you must be a brethren. Come on, what did I say? Say that again. Must be brethren. So for you to now move from brethren, those brethren too are also prophets, but they are not full prophets. For you to now move from brethren to full prophets, you now need what? Word. You need word of their. You cannot have their testimony. Can we say amen? It means the testimony of Jesus has become yours. Meaning you have held his life. Now, what makes you have testimony is that you have loved brethren of the testimony. So you can't have testimony without loving the brethren. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I don't know if I rushed you there. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Glory to God. So now, go back to verse 9. So whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remained what? In him. And he cannot sin. Come on. For he's what? Born of God. So he's born of the word of God. Can we say amen? So when you are born of the word of God, you are sealed fully. Then you are moved into the blood. In this, the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. This man is deep. Meaning you are born of the corruptible seed. When you are born of the corruptible seed, you are, he called them children of God. They are another kind of children. Then he now says, this is where the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. So it means that the opposite is happening. So they are also children of the corruptible seed. That's why he used Cain. I want to now gradually move there. Can we say amen? So Cain did not just move. Cain moved from corruptible seed to corruptible testimony. Cain was not just born. I'm going to show you that. Cain did not stay with corruptible seed. He journeyed further. He used it. So it means he entered into the blood of the incorruptible seed. Because you can't have a way without testimony. So he was already serving the way. Oh, you're not following me. Now take me back. Now, I will show you because you have to see the thought. You have to understand apostolic thought. When you understand apostolic thought, you have breakthrough. You must understand apostolic thought. See John connecting Revelations 4. He's correcting Genesis 4. So, in this, the children of God are manifest. Can we say amen? And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, look at that. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that knows not what. So love begins from the blood. There's a love that begins from the blood. Neither he that does that loveth not his brother. So for this is the message you have heard from the beginning that we should want love one another. So the message of the beginning is actually word and testimony. The message of the beginning is God is light. The message of the beginning is God is love. Please follow me very well. What did I say the message of the beginning is? Now, the beginning has stratas. So even in the beginning, you will move from the light of the beginning to the love of the beginning. You will climax in love. So this is the message you have heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. Now, let me pause here. Take me to 1 John chapter 2. I've moved into John now. I've left Revelation. I don't think I can go back today. All right? Are you with me? I've lost some people already. All right. So, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Look at that. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. So, both the old and new commandments, what are they? You are not answering me. What did I say? Both the new and old commandment, they are all commandments of the beginning. So the beginning is both living and true. So when you say beginning, you can be the living of the beginning or the true of the beginning. They are both beginning, but they are just seasons. So in the beginning, they are journey. The living God is from the beginning. But in the beginning, there is something that is more earlier in the beginning. So when you move outside, when you are moving from eternal life into everlasting life, the first beginning of everlasting life is the true God. What did I call? Then you now move down to what? The living God. That's what Jeremiah 10:10 was saying. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. For the Lord, so this one started from the back. So it's from everlasting to everlasting, Psalm 103. All right? The Lord is the true God, comma. So immediately the eternal God step into everlasting domain. The first appearing in everlasting life is the true God. So the true God is a newer commandment. You see, the more you are journeying to eternal life, it becomes newer. Your mercies are new every morning. So it's a journey of newness. So why they're called the old commandment old? Because it is younger than the revelation of the living God is younger than the revelation of the true God. So the living God, the new God, the true God is newer. So a child of the true God is a younger child. So you are closer to eternal life when you are in the realm of the true. Are we all here? Glory to God. How many of you believe the Lord is helping us? So the Lord God is the true God. Come on, He is the living God. They didn't make mistakes, sir. Then He's an everlasting King. So when you even enter everlasting life, does not mean you have met the living God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. You will start with the milk of the living God. It's also everlasting life. Once you enter, you already enter into the everlasting dominion. But that does not mean you have met the living God. So it's everlasting dominion, living God, then true God. Can we all say amen? So you now see the old and new commandment. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. So brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. Which you have heard what? From the beginning. So it's also, the old commandment is also an understanding from the beginning. The old commandment is the word. The old commandment is what? Nobody has heard. The old commandment is what? That you have heard from where? So the old commandment is the word of God. So like I told you, the purpose of this epistle was to know Him that is true. Take me to 1 John chapter 5. Now we are joining back and forth right now. 1 John chapter 5. And we know the Son of God is coming. And He had given us what? That we may know Him that is what? True. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God one. And eternal life. So the true God, comma, eternal life. So the true God is the intersect between everlasting and eternal life. So that's why I said the true God, comma, and eternal life. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Now take me back to 1 John chapter 2. So I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. The old commandment is the word that you have heard from where? The beginning. The old commandment is the word you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment. Is he contradicting himself? Again, a new commandment I write unto you. So let me even tell you, that epistle is full of both what? Old and new. This epistle. Take me to Matthew chapter 13. 13:51, an householder. Then he said unto them, therefore, this is Matthew 13. Yes, this is an householder. Therefore, every scribe, which is what? Instructed unto the kingdom of God. This everlasting dominion is like a man, unto a man. That is an what?
Householder.
So this is an high priest that has all the things of God. Both that are what? Living and true. Which bringeth forth of his treasure things, new and old. He has them inside. So all these things, they are everlasting. They are things of the kingdom of God. Or things of the kingdom of heaven. Huh? So look at it. So again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing? So commandments are things. But now he used thing, meaning he's talking about a particular commandment. It's a thing of things. What did I say this commandment is? Which thing is true in him and in you? Actually, what it means is that the reason why we are writing it is so that it will be true in you. Apostles write from a place of high faith. Because the darkness is what? And the true light what? So you can't come into love without light. So it begins with true light. So this is not true light. You didn't get what I'm saying? So this is not living light. This is not the light of the true God. Is the beginning of the true? Yes. Because the true light now shineth. What did I say? It's now shining. So this is the true light. So what John was teaching was true light. That was the purpose of this epistle. You will know at the end of this epistle. Now, the purpose of the true light is to make you have testimony. Now, because you are now you can't talk about the true light if you are not servants of the word. It's make you to have testimony, meaning the true light will bring covenant, testimony, and prophecy. That's the complete spectrum of the true light. But I'm saying it in another sense, that the true light is supposed to give you life. The purpose of light is to give life. What did I say?
Purpose of light.
Yes. What did I say?
Purpose of light.
You're not talking to me, oh.
Purpose of light.
No, I taught this 2 years ago. No, so light is, so love is the proof of life. So how I know you have life is your love. So, and I'm going to divide the love into two. Loving brethren, loving God. Loving brethren, life. Loving God, prophecy. I will prove that to you. Amen. You know, we are experimenting. Now, take me back to verse 8. And I'll go back to verse 9. If you are hearing this for the first time, it will be hard for you to understand. I understand you. It's like coming to a PhD class. You just stumble upon it. You have not been part of class for a while. So you see those people shouting, hey, they have been following me for years. Amen. So, but don't be discouraged. Just keep coming. What did I say you should do? Because you need this thing that I'm teaching. Hallelujah. If you want to invite somebody to City Gate Church for the first time, bring them to morning dew. First service. That's it. Everybody would like that service. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You need to be a student of the word for years for you to even be able to lay hold on precepts. Yes. To lay hold on precepts. So now we are teaching precept again. So now again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past. Right? And the true light now shining. Now look at verse 9. So this is how you measure the activity of a true light. Alright? He that saith is in the light and hated his brother. So it means that, amen, it takes the shining of the true light, the climaxing of the true light, for it to be what? Expired. You see, this hate is actually darkness. It's also death. What did I call it?
Yes.
Now, let me teach you this. I think I've taught you before. The rain, when light, life is the dominion of God, where there is light. So when there is light, there will be life. And where there is darkness, there will be death. What did I say? And where there is what? Now, in the world of death, the conversation in the world of death is hate. Or you can tell me, or the fruit of death. So where death is at work, hate will be installed. Or the fruit of life is love. The fruit of death is it. So this is like expiring all of darkness. Now, what is that it? Loveless. What did I say is it? We have thought this before. Have you forgotten? So it means as long as you have not finished the curriculum of the true light in having testimony unto prophecy, there's still a tendency to love less. So loving less is that you can still hate. Now, you can hate your brother by 2%. Some people hate their brother over 1,000%. So, but you hating your brother 1% is still seen as hate. Now, what is really seen as hate there? It is the tendency to hate. Meaning they have not expired all of death. Can we say amen? So even though you're a servant of the word, you can still hate. Because you need war journey in the world of testimony to have life. Meaning you need to have the life of the true God. So that you can now, the climax of the life of the true God is perfecting love. How you know that you know the true God is that you are perfect in love. Write that down. That you are made perfect in love. That is how you know that you have known the true God. And to be made perfect in love, you must love the brethren first. Because you cannot love God you have not seen. If you have not loved brethren that you can see. Those brethren you can see are brethren of testimony. You can see we're upgrading all the scriptures that we have used to teach before. So take me back to 1 John chapter 2. Alright? So he that saith is in the light, in the true light now, and hated his brother. Because the fruit of light is life. No, the proof the dominion in light is life. The fruit of life is love. So, he that said is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. So to you, the true light is not shining. It's darkness that is shining.
darkness.
You are in darkness. He that saith is in the light. He that saith is in the light and hated his brother. But you know that this manifestation of hate may be in the heart. So, but the true light is the perfect light. The living light is the good light. So, meaning this light can pick every... I believe that there are certain aspects of darkness that the good light cannot pick. Or the living light of God. It cannot pick some level of darkness. It can't. So, but when you are under the true light, you are under the most perfect light. So, meaning there is nothing that can escape. Can we say amen? So, it means that those that are born of the servants of the world, there are still some things that escape. You don't understand? Because it is in the testing, it is in the blood that expire all sin. It is in the blood that expire all sin. Take me to chapter 1, verse 5. Pastor Zig, total upgrade. It's total upgrade. Look at it. Verse 5. And this is the message you have heard from him. So God, this is a message you have heard of me and declared, God is the true light. This is then the message you have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Remember in chapter 2, he says, the true light now shineth. So this epistle was an epistle of the true light. And I've also proved that to you in 1 John chapter 5, that we know the Son of God, that he has come to give us understanding to know him that is true. I don't know if we're all together. All right. So this then is a message you have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him there is no what? So when the true God is shining, no darkness, no death, no hate. At all. At all. Huh? If we say we have fellowship with him, which is with this, the true God, or the true light, and walk in darkness, we lie, sir, and do not the truth. All right? But if we walk in the light, this is the light of the true God, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship, what? So when you are walking the light of the true God, you are in the blood. The light of the true God is what administers the ministry of the blood. It takes the true light to activate the blood of sprinkling. What the living light gives is water. Right, are you getting me, sir? What the living light gives is water. It takes the true light that brings you to the blood or brings you into the world of the blood. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with what? One another. Not brethren. No. You have fellowship, koinonia, with the true God. So when you have fellowship with the true God, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse us from some sin. So what happens in the season of the ministry of the blood is the handling of all sin. Can we say amen? Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, but when they begin to administer the word of God, sins are already being dealt with in a measure. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So that's actually revelation, a progressive revelation. Revelation that handles sin is the word of God. The word of God deals with sin. I've taught that. You move from the milk to the butter, then the word. But I'm saying that the reason why John wrote this epistle is to bring perfect light. So that all sin, everybody say all sin. All sin. All So take me there. Take me back. So he that said he's in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. All right? Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? All right. Take 1 John chapter 2. No. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. So he that said he's in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10. And he that said, he that loveth his what? Come on. He that loveth his brother what? He abided in the light. It means he's already holding life. And there is no occasion of what? Stumbling. You will need to be like this to overcome Satan.
And there is none occasion.
Satan is not the devil. It's yes. It's another name. See, don't be confused. The guy has names. They don't mean the same thing. You know what Satan means? Indara. Somebody that can let you eat what? So you now know Psalm 91. Take me to Psalm 91. You can see the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent, comma. No, wait. The old serpent, comma. And Satan. Devil is dwarf of evil. Satan is Indara. Somebody that can make you eat your food on a stone. So he's the one that causes stumbling. Where do you stumble? Ask me. When you love brethren. So it is in the era of love that you stumble. We are not getting this. So you can overcome the devil with the word of God. You will need testimony of Jesus unto prophecy. So, you know, it is Satan dragon. It's not Satan. It's Satan dragon. Dragon is the perfection of Satan. Now, look at it. Amen. Can we say amen? Take me to Psalm 91. Start from verse 1. This is not a psalm just for physical protection, sir. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So this is one dwelling in the true God. Yeah. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can we say amen? I will say of the Lord, he is my what? Refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. So this is a soul that has become true. Surely he shall deliver me from what? The snare of the fowler. From the noisome pestilence. So these are the things you are covered from. They are evil, sir. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and block. We'll come here one day, amen. We'll dwell here. Okay? There's somewhere I want to get to. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor from the pestilence that walketh in darkness. These are all expressions of all the names of Satan. Yes. Nor for the destroy. It's not one thing that the enemy has. Even at the level of the word of God, there's something called fiery darts of the wicked. No. Thank you. Take me back. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000. Is this where I'm? Okay. 1,000 by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only that with thy hand thou shalt be build a what? and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made what? The Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation. There shall no evil one, neither shall any plague. For he shall give what? To keep thee in what? He shall give his angels, he shall give his angels charge over thee to give. They shall bear thee upon his hand. Lest thou shalt want. So there's something called a stone. So when we stumble, it's on the path. It's on the path of holding life. It's in the love walk. So take me back to 1 John chapter 2. Then we'll go to 1 John chapter 3. All right? I'll round up there. Have we been blessed today? All right, so he that loveth now, he that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there's no none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in what? And walketh in what? And knoweth whether not whether he goeth, because the darkness has what? And if the darkness is burning high, what will he do? He will so stumble. This operation is what you call accuser of the brethren. That accused them day and night. You can see in Psalm 91, they are day and night operations. There's arrow that flies by day. There's pestilence that walketh by night. That's day and night. Hallelujah. No space, sir. So you—that's why you need to be kitted. You can see how you have to—you have to be completely kitted. Love, sir. Now take me to 1 John chapter 3. I'll climax my talks in. So you now see. So this is now after you are born of the Word of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever dwelleth unrighteous is not of God, neither is he that loveth his brother. So I said the message of the beginning is two. Old and new commandment. Alright? The word and testimony, really, are messages of the beginning. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. Look at that. So then that took us back to another beginning and show us what Cain did. Not as Cain, who was of what? Of that wicked one and slew what? His brother. So you can see. So let's go to Genesis 4. We are not going to do justice well if we don't go here. I don't want us to skip. Whatever we stop, we'll stop. Genesis 4 verse 1. Are we all here? I still have some few minutes. I'll finish before 9 or 9 on the dot. Alright? And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, I don't think this was what made God accept them. Someone said it's that. Somebody was doing farming. That person was doing. It's not about what they did. It was by their service. Their service. They were serving. So you can see. Now, look at it. And Abel brought forth, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth what? Or the fruit of what? Of the ground. An offering what? Unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought forth firstlings of the flock. So I believe that they were in the everlasting world. So this service was in the world of the everlasting God. Aha. They were living sacrifices. So the Lord had respect unto what? Come on. The Lord had expected unto what? Meaning his works were Abel finished his works. So his offering was the offering of his works. Meaning his works were completed. Your offering is a byproduct of your work. So God will not accept your offering if he does not accept you. God, the Lord had respect unto who? Abel. That is the works in him. And then his what? Offering. The offering was a product of his work. So God rejected Cain and his offering. And unto Cain and his offering. So they were in the season where they should begin to offer. Take me to 1 Peter chapter 2. So when they are coming to you as a living stone, you are to begin to offer. To whom coming unto what? As unto a living stone. Disallowed in the end of men, but each what? Chosen. But you also as what? Living stones are built up what? A spiritual house. An holy priesthood to offer up what? Acceptable to God. Can we say amen? So he's coming to them as unto living stones. So these are babes. So meaning that they are in the era of the world. They are in everlasting life already. So these spiritual sacrifices here, they are not sacrifices in the sanctuary. They are sacrifices of the living God. So when they were supposed to offer, both of them were supposed to offer living sacrifices, both Cain and Abel. So it means that for God to receive the offering of Abel, it means his works were well done. His works were good. What did I say his works were? The works of Abel were not good. The works of Cain were not good. God found his works not perfect. And when I mean perfect, I'm not talking about perfect works. It means his works were not completed. So God rejected Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth. And his countenance fell. So that this is the reason why he was not accepted. He had wrath already. So you know, at times circumstances only reveal what is in your heart. Maybe in a season they don't speak some people and elevate them, and then you are angry. You see, that anger that you have is a product that your heart is not good. Oh, that's a. So that wrath was his works. It was the state of the works that he had. He was very wrath. Me, I'm thinking that if God makes judgment, what you're supposed to do is to repent and ask God for mercy. But he was wrath, meaning somewhere he was justified. So at this time, Satan was already teaching him. You need to be careful. At times, Satan teaches people. Oh, Satan was already teaching him. Cain was already being taught. Can we say amen? Amen? Now, let me tell you now. And the Lord said unto Cain, why thou wrought? God had to appear to him. Why thou wrought? And why is that countenance falling? If thou doest well. Meaning God is not a respecter of persons. If thou doest well, shall thou not be what? Accepted. And if thou dost not well, the reason why you do not even do those works is because sin lieth at what? At the door. Now, this time, sin lieth at the door. This is the corruptible seed. It is still at the door. So, it is already training you gradually. He says, well, at this point, you can shut the door. Sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. So this is not just a thing, it's a person. Yeah. So sin here is the serpent. The serpent is the giver of the corruptible seed. Look at it. I hope you are. Amen. If thou doest well, shall not be, will thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, see light at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. They didn't say eat. So this is a being. So this is a serpent. Though sin, there is a serpent. Now, it says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt what? It says, you can rule. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose and what? So by the time Cain murdered his brother, Cain had already been taken over by the corruptible seed. Because murder is a fruit of hate. Are you following me? So Cain had already been born. At this stage, Cain had been born of corruptible seed. Now, once you are born of corruptible seed, remember, I told you that once you are born of incorruptible seed, it means you are sealed. The next is that you move into blood. So at this time, this guy had moved into the next season. How you know is his works. Now, the daughters that brought down the Son of God, they are daughters from the testimony of Abel. Testimony of Cain, sorry. Like Cain's, Abel's testament raised sons of God. Abel also a testament. So Cain, I'm just mixing it. Cain had testament to raise daughters. So those daughters were not ordinary. It means they could bring down sons. So the war of sons and daughters was the war of the air. So that those sons and daughters, it was war, at the level of testimony and a kind of prophecy. It was in the air. It was war in the air. Because those sons of God, they were sons of the air. Those daughters brought them down. And made them flesh. So that those are not just daughters of corruptible seed. Daughters of way of Cain. Meaning they have moved into blood. Now, take me back to, let me just show you something about Cain. Amen. We'll pick up somehow. Look at it. So Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So you now see what John now wrote. No murderer has what? Eternal life abiding in me. Now, take me back to Genesis 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Look at it. Too. And he said, I know not. This is not ordinary. Some of you know, this is not just, even his answers are not ordinary. This was already a kind of son of Satan. He was bold against his maker. God asked him, where is your brother? What? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Actually, you should be your brother's keeper. Because your brother should be your brethren. And you should keep each other. So am I my brother's keeper? He's talking to God. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. Yes, this is a very powerful thing. Can we say amen? Amen? So it means the blood of Abel had things inside. That's why he could raise other sons. Though it's dead, but this blood speaketh. So the guy did obedience to the point that his blood could speak. His blood could raise other sons. So all the sons we see in Genesis 5, they were all product of Abel and the blood of Abel. So when they say the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So the testimony in his body is to raise sons of God who are full prophets of God. They can all, a prophet is a witness of God's life. Now, so from there, take me to verse 11. Thou art cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not bring answered yield thee for our strength. A fugitive and vagabond thou shall be in the earth. So after this, you now begin to see Cain. This is when the way of Cain began. The Bible says, I don't know what the Bible says, and Cain went to the, departed from Eden. Departed from the presence of the Lord. Thank you. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. This is not ordinary. This is a journey against testimony. Can we say amen? Presence is a kind of testimony. Or face is a kind of testimony. And Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. He did not just went out for the presence of the Lord. He dwelt in the land of Nod. Amen. Everybody say dwelling. It's not easy for you to dwell. You see, this is a journey of a father. Anytime somebody dwells anywhere, he has journeyed and he has done it's a kind of covenant. He has done some kind of covenant to dwell. So the Bible says, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So don't think that it's just a physical land. May God give you understanding. Cain was not just living on the physical land. He was living on the physical land, but he was occupying a dimension. So he was already inheriting things of Satan. So this was the first son of Satan. If I'm not mistaken, the firstborn of many other sons. Satan has raised many. This guy was the firstborn, sir. So when he say he dwelt in a line, it means he has inheritance. Cain has inheritance, sir. So after then, the guy just began. So he generated a kind of way. His way was his testimony. His testimony was what began to raise daughters. Yes, so John had to connect Cain. Why Cain? Because the people that Satan can use to become false, in chapter 4, he now entered into false prophets. Those false prophets, they are not false prophets prophesying. This is not false prophet that's prophesying Ghana prophet. No. These false prophets are those that did not finish testimony in prophecy. That did not finish the journey. Those that were part of us, but they did not continue. So test every spirit. It's not easy to know them. Test every spirit. You have to test spirit. What is spirit? Ask what spirit? Way. Way. So you can see, chapter 3, Cain, chapter 4, prophets. Now, take me back to chapter 3. So this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he? Because his own works were what? So the guy already had evil works. That was what produced the rot. Evil works, Loni. And his brother's what? Righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. This world is talking about a kind of men. Can we say amen? That kind of men. We know that we have what? Come on, you are not following me. I want to round up here. We know that we have what? Now, it's not talking about sin now. Now, it's talking about debt. So, you know, when he wants to deal with debt, he brings out love. So, we know that we are passed from debt unto life. So, this is in the most holy. Right? Because we love the brethren. Who are these brethren? There are also brethren that are keeping life. They are also keeping commandment of love. That's what it means. He that loveth not his brother, what? He that loveth not his brother, what? Abideth in death. Marvel not. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So you can see why they show Cain. So whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So it means that if your brother's works is different from yours, you will hate him. So how does it begin? It means that if we are all on the same path, stand up. We are supposed to be joining, come. We are supposed to be joining together. But no way, they won't show your leg. We are supposed to be joining together. Right? If he's doing righteous work and I'm doing evil work, a time will come in the journey where we'll be part ways. Now, what I am hating in him is not him, it's his works. Or what is hating in works is the what is in me. Now go and sit down. Are you getting what I'm saying? You now see at times when you are wrought against your brother, is a place you need to run to the Lord for mercy. Most times it's works. It's your works that is hating that work. It's a work thing, yes. You know, Satan has his own Urim and Tumim. So whoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has what? This is everlasting life. Eternal life abiding in him. Whereby, now, hereby we perceive we love God. We don't love God yet. Hereby we perceive we love God. So he says, when we love the brethren, we pass from death to life. Then when we are in life, we now perceive we love God. Hereby we perceive we love God. He didn't say we love God. Hereby we perceive. You have a perception. You have judgment. To love God. Yeah, who is the God? Yeah, the true God. Him that is true. Hereby we perceive we love God because he had laid down what? His life for us. And so this is how you love brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for brethren. Everybody say, so you love brethren by laying down your life. That's how you love brethren. Hereby, perceive we love God because he has laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is not just any brethren. The brethren. Now, take me to Revelations. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Hallelujah. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For what? For the accuser of our brethren. Can we say amen? So when you say how, those are heavenly brethren. Brethren of heaven are brethren of the testimony.
Yes, sir.
What did I say? Heavenly brethren. They are brethren of the testimony. You know, there's difference between holy brethren and heavenly brethren.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 3. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So the heavenly calling starts with the service of the word of God. So, but these ones are not at this level. These are not holy brethren. These are journeyed a little bit further. Revelation 12, brethren. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who accused them what before God? Day and night. But how do they overcome? They overcome him by the what? Blood of the Lamb. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So the blood of the Lamb is the life of the testimony. Which is what happens when you pass from what? Death to life. Because you are blood of the brethren. That's the first. But you don't just overcome him with the blood of the Lamb. Meaning you don't just overcome him with testimony. If it's testimony, it means there's covenant involved. But you don't overcome it with just a testimony. You also need the word of testimony. So you also need prophecy. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Everybody say word of their testimony. So that's the word that your, when you lay down your life for your brethren, you already have life. That life, when you join old life for a while, it will call for another commandment. It's not a commandment to now love God. That is where you now undo word of testimony. Because now you have testimony. But you need word of that testimony. So that is what you see in 1 John chapter 4 and 5. Can we all say amen? I will continue from here next week. Can we begin to talk to God? Let me just stop here. Let us begin to talk to God. Let us begin to talk to God. Let's stand to our feet and begin to talk to God. The Lord is already opening our understanding. Can we thank him first? Let's thank him. 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 Can you pray for your hand that the Lord will help your heart to yield to him in this season? The Lord will give you grace to submit to him all the way, all the way, all the way. Aronega jajamini frepepe koko lebrani eseveloda. Paraga jajamini frepepe koko jojomeni esavaragada. Rekatebeni o jojomeni o frepepe koko leat. Can you ask God to expire every form of darkness in us in this season where his light is shining? And he will take away all darkness from our hearts.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.